Blog Talk Radio.
We sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat and shit. It's alright though, it's all good. Ripped his ass so bad, his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This? He ain't fading nothing over here though.
One ass whooping, man. They still want.
How you figure that, man? Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. You don't know shit. Freshman.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggression, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country. You.
That Father Teresa does not give.
I feel like I should introduce this with an all right, but I'm not as good as the all rights as William is. It's not my wheelhouse. It's not.
Not?
I told you I need a catchphrase, man.
You need a catchphrase.
I need a catchphrase. I don't have one. It's kind of sad, really.
Let me drop those decibels a wee bit.
A wee bit?
Just a little. Oh, that went down pretty far.
A little bit, a lot bit, whatever. Doesn't fucking matter.
All right. And so the way I just set this one up in the social networks is like, hello, hola, mm-hmm. Konnichiwa, aloha, mm-hmm. What's cracking, what's popping,
okay.
What the deal? Oh, you had
bonjour.
No more?
Oh, bonjour. Cheerio,
bonjour. I see them niggas on the block like all day, and they be slinging major sacks. And the one time creep the block, and my niggas might get shot, but everybody knows the spot is hot.
We do.
This is my life, y'all.
What?
Huh.
Gangsta Disney remixes.
Gangsta Disney remixes. All right.
Bonjour. Good day.
I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. I'm just saying that if you did that, people would probably click it on YouTube. That's all I'm saying.
Huh. I just need the instrumentals, which, I mean, there's probably, like, all sorts of, like, orchestras and trumpet players. Like, I'm sure plenty of people have done instrumentals to them. So, yeah, I just got to grab that stuff and use it.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. All right, so I am William J. Andor Jackson. This is Phoenix Kaliter, but Sloane Cornelis and anybody who's down with guerrilla feminism, they keep reporting Phoenix Kaliter. So she can't access her account, and the cold game is people see her tweeting on Twitter, then find her on Facebook and click follow, and they don't realize that she can't access that account. So, like, probably like, you know, like every 7 to 10 days, like I'll just make a little post there reminding folks to just go follow Reading in the Shade.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. There are a few things in the world that are more painful than not actually being able to log into your account, but people following it. It is some extra level bullshit that your followers list keeps growing when you can't actually access your shit.
Yeah. While people while those folks, you know, they won't even make public posts. They make nothing but friends only posts, but report you for making public posts.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
you cowards that want you to be a coward.
People are funny, strange creatures.
They smell.
They might.
Here, I'm going to give you a, all right, testing, 1, 2, 3. I just adjusted some of the levels. What does that sound like?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds the same, or did it change?
It's got a little bit louder, I think, or more clear, maybe.
Okay, yeah, I turned up the highs and turned down the lows.
Oh,
okay. There's Taylor logo, there's Becky logo, there's Roni logo, Roni Dean posted up in the joint. All right, y'all want to get into some news and or comments, some stuff. And some of you may have tuned in after the trigger warning, so remind you there's a trigger warning. There's Brit Loco from I think Brit Loco goes all the way back to like late 2012, early 2013. Like I came across that white nigga a long time ago. Oh, Jesus Christ. So let's see what in the holy heck darn is going on here. So let's we're going to dance it on over to winecellarmedia.com. What is that? What is winecellarmedia.com? Son of a brisket. That's our website. Why do we have a website? Because people hit up the PayPal and the Patreon, and you paid for it. So now we have a place where we can post shit where nobody can report it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you can report it, and then we'll just post the emails you send us publicly and mock you. That's also an option.
Oof. Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Oh, man.
Fine. We could make an entire, by the way, just future segment. We could make an entire, like, future segment based on reading hate mail that we get from people.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun. Hmm. I'd like to have it like have like a particular. I mean, see, Frickface works about like 58 to 62 hours a week, so it's hard, that's why like we haven't had new Frickface drops in like 4 months, because you know that kid is fucking working. But I mean, she has the perfect voice for this shit. And then the homie Loco, Penny Loco, she's been injured. I gotta check. I check in with Penny
injured.
Loco.
Wait, she's injured? What?
Yeah, she got hurt. I told you to talk to her. That's your friend.
I'm sorry, Penny. I want to message you tonight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Penny Loco's been hurt. So, but yeah, I try to check in with Penny Loco like every like 4 to 6 weeks, because Penny Loco's busy, and like Penny Loco lives like her career is activism. Like she goes around like helping children and whatnot that are not well. All right. So let's see.
Okay,
so
I think that when we do this, though, we need to take advantage of the entirety of our friends and followers list, because we have some people with some pretty awesome accents. Like, we have some, you know, cool Australian folks and, like, a couple Brits and some people, you know, scattered throughout Europe. Like, I think we get some fun accents. Like, it's just going to be really hilarious in my head to hear someone with a British accent reading our hate mail. Like, we can make this happen. It can be a thing.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hit up whoever you know. I'm with it. I am with it. That sounds dope. Like, especially to hear them, like, reading, like, hateful, racist American vernacular with that accentuation.
Yes, it's going to be fantastic.
Like, that would be fantastic.
But we'll have to put out a disclaimer. Like, no, it's actually okay to read it, because they're going to be like, I can't say the word nigger and all the other things they call you. No, you totally can't. It's going to be hilarious. Trust me.
No, yeah, we need you. Like, it's not as funny if you say N-word. It's funny if I say N-word, because there's an irony to that. But, like, if you say N-word, then it's like fucking CNN. And fuck Don Lemon, because he's a stupid N-word. You see how that works?
Yeah, fuck Don Lemon.
All right, I just threw out the word "stupid" there. Excuse the ableism. I try to check that stuff. Let's see. So some folks are tuning in just now. We have an extended trigger warning at the beginning, but yeah, just if you're just tuning in now, like some of the stories are fucked up. Some of the stories are funny. Some stories are dark. But they have bits and pieces where the goddess of irony sprinkles chuckles in them. This first one that I'm jumping into is not fucking funny.
Okay.
So a black man sets a black woman on fire. That's the headline on WineCellarMedia.com. All right. So a man killed his girlfriend and set a Bucks County motel on fire using gasoline and the victim's own cigarette. His name is Kevin Small. He's 46 years old, of Philadelphia. Man, he's in police custody, and he faces charges of criminal homicide, arson, and numerous other offenses. He was denied bail during his arraignment Sunday afternoon in the death of the 46-year-old Melissa Bacon Smith, also of Philadelphia. Investigators said that the fire at the Lincoln Motel at the 2200 block of Lincoln Highway around 2:30 a.m. was the result of a domestic dispute. Authorities said Small brought a cup of gasoline from the Wawa gas station across the street and came back to the motel and flung it on her while she was smoking and left. Firefighters arrived to find heavy black smoke coming from the rooms 103 and 104, but firefighters had the blaze under control by 3 in the a.m. Crews rescued at least 3 people from rooms on the second floor. Several people were taken to Aria Health Torresdale for smoke inhalation. Police said their injuries do not appear to be life-threatening, and they told the ABC sister station WPVI, which is where we got the guts of this story. Like, typically websites like Raw Story and aggregators like that, they'll have like their commentary over it, but we like to go straight to these websites. And that station, they spoke with witnesses who said the smoke was very intense in the hallway as they were trying to make their way out. All right, so the Red Cross in southeastern Pennsylvania, well, they assisted a couple of people who were staying at the Lincoln.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So, fucking, like, and that's the thing. Like, So I have a page in the social networks called Misogynor Exposed. And like one post that I recently shared there was from the homie, and she has a dope ass name. Her name is fucking dope, right? Check it. Skip a flip bop a dip a da boop bop a dow. Faya Angelou. She has a dope ass name. And I shared a shared a post from her saying, I'll say it again, every 21 hours a black woman is killed by a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. And that's like something that I mentioned in the You Raped Her verse, where it was like we'll have a problem with solidarity as long as our sisters need to be protected from us.
Yep.
Like I don't like this phrase. I don't know why, but you know, but it's one of those phrases I just don't really use, but I understand it, right? A hit dog hollers. All right? Like,
mm-hmm.
If it's not you, if you're not directly harming black women, then stop fucking whining. Stop messaging me. Stop fucking making big flounce announcements. I'm unfollowing this. You hate black men. No, nigga, I am one. Goofy. Fucking. Like you got to check your homeboys. Like if you're not doing it, then fucking spread that shit. You're like, you see your homeboys like talking some grimy shit about a black woman, like all the way from any area, from the slut shaming, shaming black women on hair politics, any of that shit. Check your fucking homeboys. Like stop being a little buster about that shit. Like y'all niggas be so fucking hard, but you scared of each other like a motherfucker, man. What the fuck you scared of? Especially like y'all, and y'all niggas be on internet, like why you scared of niggas? Like you scared of niggas digitally?
What internet gangsters though? I don't know. This is something you might. Do you know who Margaret Atwood is?
I know that name.
Yeah, she's like a feminist author, and when I read this story, because I actually checked it out from a couple different news sources to get as many details as possible. What really stuck out to me is one of her like more famous quotes is something that literally happened in the story, because I was reading from another news source that not only did they have a domestic disagreement, she shamed him by laughing at him, and that was why he threw gasoline on her. And Margaret Atwood's most famous quote is, men are afraid women will laugh at them, women are afraid men will kill them. And that is literally what happened here. She, I guess, you know, was being quote-unquote disrespectful and said something to him, and as a consequence, he killed her because she laughed at him. And that is what this is. And this is like that shit where it's like, y'all are so fucking fragile with your egos. Like, maybe your masculinity should be based on something other than how shitty you can make women feel. And we wouldn't have these fucking problems. Maybe.
Yeah, they said that on, I wasn't able to snag the audio. But one of the news sources did point that out in the gosh darn story. Oh my goodness, I hate when fucking Facebook tries to suggest you shit. Fucking stop trying to tell me what to do.
Facebook suggests the worst things. It really does.
Yeah, like, hey, do you want to invite more people to your page? Do you want to go fuck yourself? Is there any chance that you want to go do that? I think it's a fine activity, and you'd love it.
Mm.
Jesus balls.
Well, I mean, May is masturbation month.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. Throw yourself a little, you know, give yourself a hand. All right? A helping hand.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus
fuck,
man.
Everyone needs a little help sometimes.
All right. So, let's see, what in the holy heck darn else, is going on here? And then let's see who else is, who might be tuned in, right? Like, people clicked on that. There's Molly Loco over there. There's, some of you folks might see Taylor Malone, see that individual in the social networks. Taylor Malone's been on the program, out there protesting, getting jacked up by the one time. There's Tylese Loco. What up?
by the way, the update of for Taylor was that they their case ended up ultimately getting dismissed because they went to a Black Lives Matter protest and got charged with assaulting a cop or some kind of bullshit. But I believe ultimately their case was dismissed. So, yay, Taylor.
Yeah, wasn't it because, like, somebody had, like, video or pictures, and it was like, you can't fucking, you can't lie on them. All
Look,
right, folks,
I'm
remember the,
gonna...
whatever, yeah.
Oh, please remember, in this digital age, if it's possible to record some shit that is going down, especially with police, please record it, because that can save lives. Not hyperbole, not exaggeration. That shit can actually legitimately save lives. So, if you can record some shit that police are doing, fucking record it.
Yeah, and one of those things that I see some people saying where they're like, don't record it, do something. Oh, so we can die together and nobody recorded it? Oh, that sounds outstanding. Or also, or then you're also just, and you're kind of just throwing that out there to everybody, you know, and, yeah, I'm going to add some gender to it because I do acknowledge the Ain't I a Woman piece where it's like, you know, black women get to be delicate too. I don't know if you knew that. Like black women, you know, like, oh, yeah, huh? It's radical softness as far as I'm concerned. That's what I consider it to be. Like allowing black women their delicacy, that is radical softness. Like, I mean, there are some white women who would try to co-opt that, but, like, you're already awarded that via benevolent sexism. So radical softness is a black woman issue. Excuse me, you heard it here on the Wine Cellar first. Anybody else who uses it is co-opting and appropriating, and we all know how some folks get down like that. So, hola. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so, like, so you're going to tell me that you want, like some 5'2" little black woman who's recording something going down to jump in and take a swing at the fucking cop? How about no? Like,
no.
if you're recording me getting fucked up out of one time, keep recording. Don't jump in because the one time will fuck you up too.
Right.
So,
exactly. Harm reduction, honestly.
Black women.
Harm reduction.
All right, so what the holy hell, gosh darn schmiggin' schmaggin' Harmon Dougal is going on here? Penises, right? Those exist. They're always,
they do exist.
They're always hanging around, poking into folks' business.
Usually not hanging, but all right. We'll go with that.
All right. Or whatever holy hell darn it is they're doing, you know, they never seem to be able to hold a drink, vomit at random, just very, very, very obnoxious. And then penises, aren't penises always like, hey, you need to get a haircut? Well, they haven't seen a fucking barber since George Carlin's hair was brown.
Manscaping, I believe, is what they call it. Because apparently, when you do something that requires basic decency, if you somehow are able to attach the word male or man to it, that makes it legitimate. So, manscaping, apparently.
Right? Or just using a room in the house now makes it a man cave.
It's a man cave, you manscape, you have a bro code,
Talk about man cave. Motherfucker, listen here. See, and that's that. This motherfucker's trying to inject hyper-masculinity into every fucking thing. All right? It's a den. Okay, first off, it's the fucking den. And not only is it the den, but you went and put a nice, precious, very clean and well-set pool table in there. And you put a really nice HD television in there. And you put a plant up on the side. And you have really nice shot glasses, and you have a decent, you know, like a pretty darn good quality whiskey or bourbon in there, and you have a couple of leather chairs in there, and then you call it a cave. Shut the fuck up, motherfucker. That shit ain't no motherfucking cave. That shit is nicer than your fucking living room. Man cave. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Man receives.
But where else are you gonna manscape and wear your boy beads and have your man lotion and your man soap, where else can you be a male but in the man cave?
Your man lotion.
Your man lotion, which actually legitimately pisses me off right now because I can't log into the Phoenix Kalita account, but I actually shared an entire post that was like basic ass products that were repurposed for men. So it was like bracelets, watches, lotion, soap, but they all had like bro, dude, bra, man in the name of them because they were marketed specifically to men. And I'm really mad that I can't find that post right now because I can't log into that account.
Ah.
But yeah,
and
that happened. That's a thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, a man receives the first penis transplant in the United States. Very important. So a man whose penis, because of cancer, has received the first penis transplant in the United States at a Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. Thomas Manning, a 64-year-old, because, hey.
Ironically named Manning, but continue. Manning.
That. I want to end the fucking show. All right, so. Manning. He underwent the 15-hour transplant operation on May 8th and 9th. The organ came from a deceased donor. Somebody died for your...
died for your right to have an erection? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you knew where I was going. Like, you can't help but have the fucking hip-hop aspect to it, right? Like, organ came from a deceased donor... So another man died so you could have your boner?
Boner? Oh, no.
Like, of course that was on the way. So, a quote from Mr. Manning is, I want to go back to being who I was. And and he said that in a Friday interview in the hospital room, sitting up in a chair, happy to be out of bed for the first time since the operation. He said he felt well and had experienced hardly any pain. A quote from Dr. Curtis L. Catrullo, we're cautiously optimistic. And he has a end quote. He says he has a plastic reconstructive surgeon and a leader of the surgical team, and continued saying, quote, it's uncharted waters for us, end quote. So the surgery, experimental and a part of a research program with the ultimate goal of helping combat veterans with severe pelvic injuries. So, I mean, we could... You know, stop what the Republicans call war, what the Democrats call intervention, and what those of us SJWs on the far left, we just call it imperialism. We just call it what the fuck it actually is. We call it white supremacy. We call it what the fuck it actually is.
So, first of all, I'm pouring myself another drink because fuck this entire story. Second of all, the story has reaffirmed for me that I am indeed a feminist killjoy. Third of all, I would like to point out that as the proud owner of a uterus, I cannot get my insurance to cover my birth control. I lost my nearest Planned Parenthood because it was cut due to budget cuts, so it's closed. There's a 3-month waiting time to get into the county clinic, but this man, God bless his heart, this man got a free penis because doctors volunteered their time in the hospital comp to surgery.
You're jumping ahead in the story.
Yes, do the thing.
He said, all right, so it's for patients with pelvic injuries and cancer mm-hmm. patients and accident victims. And if all goes as planned, normal urination should be possible for Mr. Manning within a few weeks, and sexual function in weeks to months, Dr. Cutrullo said. Mr. Manning welcomed questions and said he wanted to speak out publicly to help dispel the shame and stigma, can't talk like Spanaway trash, associated with genital cancers and injuries, and to let other men know there was hope in having normal anatomy restored. Quote, don't hide behind a rock, end quote. What up?
Can I also point out that this is one of those, like, weird-ass moments when, like, men get hurt by patriarchy, but they won't admit that they're being hurt by patriarchy? Like, if you are in a situation where you feel that depressed because of an injury to your genitals and you're somehow less of a man, like, that's patriarchy, though. And that's why everybody should be a feminist or a feminist ally.
No, and we're not even we're Negrotarians, because I'm not sharing the same ideological title as Kathy Brennan, or right, like
Kathy Brennan is a fake goth.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm not. I wish I would have paid attention to that as it was unfolding. Like, I had to learn the joke after everyone stopped laughing. Like everybody was bored with it by the time I found out what was going on.
Outside, it's not just you, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, and shoot. Yeah, the ideological title. Like, I'm not sharing the same ideological title as Brennan or Megan Murphy or basically the fact that SWERFs and TERFs exist. Like, that word is shot for me. I'm not sharing no word that SWERFs and TERFs have. Fuck that, especially after what they recently did in Germany. Like, they basically just, like, publicly published the addresses of gazillions of sex workers and just blew up the spot. Like, so basically, when men go to their houses, rape and murder them, thanks a lot, SWERFs, you're feminist as fuck, aren't you? Like, yeah, like, I can't carry that title because horrible people carry that title. Fuck that. You know, just like with liberal. Like, as long as there's neoliberalism, don't call me liberal. Fuck off. You know, like...
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes it's like, don't even lump me in, like, with the far left, because, I mean, little, like whack-ass niggas, like them little whack-ass Twiv Nation niggas get lumped in with the far left. Them niggas ain't far left. Them niggas is neoliberal fucking Obamacrats. Fuck them niggas, too.
What's funny about that, though, is you literally are the meme. You've seen the meme where it's like, you know, goes on a date to a restaurant. So what do you think about feminism? And, you know, date says, feminism isn't for me. And, you know, me sticks breadsticks in my purse and starts to leave and says, because they, you know, have a history of excluding trans women and non-binary people and women of color and really shitting on black women. You know, like, you are that meme. Most people hate feminism because, like, oh, feminazis, scary, man-hating. You actually have a critical viewpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's weird is that I don't – because you know how people can – like in the social networks, you can have your regular account and then you can have like a fan page that can be just have any name and people won't know it's you. There is a SWERF TERF because – and this is the phrase that pays, okay? TERFs of a feather SWERF together. If someone is a TERF, they're always a SWERF. If someone's a SWERF, they're always a TERF, all right? TERFs of a feather SWERF together. Always. They're always the same people. So some TERF SWERF follows me, and every once in a while they share my shit to their page. And then I always go back and I edit the original post to add in that we will never support TERFs or SWERFs. And then they complain about it in their own comment section, but still keep the post up and still follow me like fucking creepy weirdos. It's the page, Women Are Not Property, Sex Is Not a Contract. If you're the owner of that page and you're following William J. Jackson, stop it. Stop following me. Stop sharing my shit, you creep. You fucking swurfy turf motherfucker. All right, back to penises. Very important.
Well, that was a decidedly mainstream white feminist turn this conversation just took. All right.
Let's see. He said he was not quite ready to take a close look at his transplant. My new penis has a first name. It's TRANS. My penis has a second name, PLANTS. All right. And he will have to take several anti-rejection drugs for the rest of his life. His transplant, I got to come back to that. Like, that's going to become a thing, like, over the next 3 decades.
Yeah.
Which, and they're going to be showing them to each other. I just know it. And we know how appropriation is.
Dude.
They're going to be like, hey, Jason got a black one. He got a black one, bro. Jason, look at it, dude.
My God, that's what I was just about to say. You know what the fucking hotep conspiracy theorists are going to do over this shit? They're going to kill all the niggas in the street now because they want that black penis. Like, because remember how they said, how they killed Mike Brown because they wanted to harvest his organs. Now it's going to be they're killing black men in the streets because they want our penises.
Well, they're just, it's not going to be plural anymore. It's just going to be organ. And then you know what they're going to do? They're going to label the people that they think are doing it. They're going to call them organ players.
Jesus, save me.
Hmm? Like how many hoteps are gonna fucking go into working like in morgues, mortuaries, and medical stuff so that they could check the bodies?
Well, how many hoteps are gonna say, "Queen, you need to be with me and nation build before the white man comes and finds me and takes my organ away from me"?
That's the new coercion. The white man, he wants to turn me into a transplant.
That's why
they started calling us eggplant. They always had this in mind.
I see what you did there.
Chica. Right, another patient, his penis destroyed by burns in a car accident, will receive a transplant as soon as a matching donor becomes available. Oh, you have to have a matching donor. All right, so, okay, so, like, all penises are unique snowflakes.
Well, I think that, honestly, that will be interesting when they search for donors to be, like, because you know how white people don't want to admit, like, you know, my great-great-granddaddy was a rapist, and there's, like, some black in the family because, you know, she got raped, you know, like generations of black slave women raped so many times, they finally had a white passing baby, and we just, you know, kept it. Unless part of our family line, they're actually going to have to admit that they're part black, and now black people can possibly be potential penis donors. It's about to get real, yo.
Ah, man. Penis donors. Weird stuff. Now, let's see. Surgeons at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine are also planning to perform penis transplants and have had a combat veteran injured in Afghanistan on the waiting list for several months. Well, they should get one from one of the grandsons of the Bush family. Like, that's who sent you there.
Or,
Gia?
We could stop sending fucking, like, 19-year-old children into fucking war zones for some weird-ass imperialistic, cause, and be like, no, you're fighting for America and for our freedom. How about we fucking do that shit? Jesus.
Yeah, you know who should go to the war? The fucking, the people that want the war, whether it be the politician, the donors to the politician, or the constituents. You go, and we'll pay you, whatever job you have, you will get paid that salary and we'll make sure that, like, while you're there, like, what needs to be taken out to pay, like, your bills so that when you come back, if you come back, you still have your house, apartment, townhouse, condo, whatever it is, you know, but you want war, you go fight. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all niggas always want to motherfucking see a fight, nigga, knuckle up. Go over there and go get busy with some of the Muslims over there. Go get it popping.
Right.
You know what team I'm rooting for, nigga? I want to see the Muslims fuck you up. I don't like American Christians. All right. Well, I should say you're American Christians of European descent. Black Christians don't got a lot of beef with you. Got a little patriarchy going on in your church. Got to fix that shit. But yeah, it's really Christians of European descent are the problem. They're like one of the Christians of European descent and capitalism. Those are two fucked up problems on this planet.
Christians are not the only problem, because
we got to get to the part of it, because we're still on the same article.
Yes.
All right. So we got to get to the part that you kind of leaned into a little early here. Dr. Cotrullo estimated the cost at $50,000 to $75,000. And both hospitals are paying for the procedures, and the doctors are donating their time. Worldwide, only two other penis transplants have been reported, a failed one in China in 2006 and a successful one in South Africa in 2014, in which the recipient later fathered a child.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so the hospitals are paying for them, and like you were mentioning earlier, they they're taking away Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Like, you can't have access to reproductive health, but like the men are getting free penises.
Right, and I mean, well, that's the thing that's always sort of been an ongoing thing, because even a couple years ago there was an issue, you know, particularly in Illinois, because we have like serious ass budget problems here because political corruption. But it was like, there are certain types of contraceptives that cannot be covered under insurance because they're, you know, quote unquote too expensive. But Viagra was always covered. And it's like, how the fuck is Viagra covered but NuvaRing is not? And so, you know, there's like,
what is NuvaRing?
Okay, so NuvaRing is actually like a ring that is vaginally inserted, and it's a form of birth control because the ring itself possesses the hormone. So it's like, as opposed to taking the pill, you take the pill every day as a form of birth control. But like NuvaRing is inserted vaginally, and it inserts hormones directly into the bloodstream through vaginal walls. And for a lot of women, NuvaRing works better because it's a consistent low dose of contraceptive drugs. And so a lot of women, or a lot of people, I should say, right, not women, right, a lot of people find NuvaRing to be better because it has fewer side effects than birth control pills. But for the most part, if you're pouring on like a government type of aid, like Medicaid for your health insurance, they don't cover it because it's like $90 a month. And a lot of people can't necessarily afford $90 a month just for birth control. So they end up taking the pill. And then they have more side effects, and it's not effective, and it doesn't necessarily work with their bodies. But, you know, because the state doesn't want to pay for adequate things, that's what you fucking get. And then they closed down a lot of the Planned Parenthoods, which would give you NuvaRing. So, you know, basically we're leaving people without proper or adequate access to birth control. But this entire time that they were cutting off different types of birth control, they were cutting off IUDs, and they were cutting off patches, and they were cutting off NuvaRing. The entire fucking time, you could fucking get, like, Viagra. Like, what the shit? Because erections are important. Birth control, not so much. So, yeah, I have a huge level of, I'm just going to say, bitterness at this point about the entire situation. And now it's like, I still, you know, I still cannot get NuvaRing on state insurance, which is, you know, what you get when you're in poverty, but people are fucking getting penis transplants for free. Like, what is life?
Ugh.
What is life?
Man, I'm going to go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I would be curious to know, too, this surgery appears to be done on somebody who identifies as a cis man and had cancer. I would be very curious to know if they would ever do a penis transplant on, like, a trans man or somebody who didn't have such a respectable background, right? Because having cancer is like, you're a fighter and you're doing the thing and we're proud of you, but, you know, what if the recipient of the penis donation was a little bit less respectable? How would that work out? You know, I have questions. I have so many questions.
Yeah, and this is a New York Times article, and I'm going to go ahead and link it via the Father Teresa's Wine Cellar news page on the old Facebooks there, which actually makes it, when I do that, it automatically goes to the old Twitter as well. And we're typing up free penises for cis men, but cis women get Planned Parenthood closed on them. And then under that comment, we'll go ahead and link the article.
Which,
if
incidentally,
folks would like that, yes.
My nearest Planned Parenthood is 34 miles away from me. Yeah.
That's fucking charming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yes.
Oh, also, I am curious to know more about this hospital, because $75,000 for that type of surgery seems actually, like, legitimately really cheap. So I'm curious about that as well, because I have been in the hospital overnight in the ER. That was, like, $57,000. So I'm curious to know how one night in the ER can be $57,000 here, but that is an entire penis transplant there in the U.S.
You were, well, the thing is, you were not a cis white male getting a new penis.
I was not.
No. Mm-hmm. Like, and again, like, and that's that manufactured hierarchy where it's like, no, you know, you get it. We riff about this. We have over 300 mm-hmm. episodes on this. Like, mm-hmm. folks better get with it. Now, this one I got from you. Right. So what did you find interesting in this one? A migrant worker program called Worse Than Slavery after injured. Well, I mean, the headline says it, after injured participants, injured participants sent home without treatment. What?
So, OK, so I read this story and it stuck out to me for a couple reasons. First of all, this happened in Canada, which amuses me because, remember, that's where all the white liberals are going to go if Trump wins the election, right? They're going to go to Canada like it's some kind of fucking utopia now. The fuck
yeah, and also because they can all just afford to move. And don't worry, they have full-time work once they get there. And they already automatically qualify for renting a house or an apartment, or they have land or a home that they're actually buying there. Like, they have this totally planned out. It wasn't just an angry Facebook post that made no fucking sense. You're not gonna move. Shut the fuck up with
I
that
know.
Bullshit every 4 years. Every 4 years, people that do not pay attention to politics or policy in between jump up and say, if the candidate from the other party that is very similar to my party wins, I'm gonna move. Shut the fuck
They're
up.
They're gonna move. Okay, so yeah, that first of fucking all, right? Secondly, it caught my attention because in the thumbnail, I saw the picture of the poor individual who was the center of the story, and he was a very dark-skinned black man. And so as I'm reading the story, I see, like, oh, he's fucking Jamaican, okay? So apparently they have these, like, migrant farming programs in Canada where you can be a non-resident of Canada, but you can go there during certain seasons, like, you know, pick crops, which, I mean, shouldn't be a shock to us Americans. If you're American, you might not be aware, but this is, like, some shit we do to exploit, like, Latino workers, particularly Mexican, but also throughout Central and South America. Like, they work fucking 18 hours a day and don't get paid shit, okay? That's the thing. So, you know, feel pretentious, vegans, feel fucking pretentious. But, so this man is, I see a dark-skinned black man. He's from Jamaica, and he has a history of going up to Canada and working the migrant growing seasons and sends the money home to his family. And I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of a typical thing. I know a lot of people who do that sort of thing. But then, as I read the story, I find out that he suffered some sort of on-the-job injury and ended up in a coma. So what they opted to do with him instead of treating him is revoke his status, because now that he, because, you know, he got to Canada on a work visa. But now that this man had a head injury and he's in a coma, he can't fucking work because he's in a coma. So they sent his black ass back to Jamaica because they didn't want to pay for his medical expenses that he incurred on the job in fucking Canada. So obviously this bothered me for a lot of reasons. You know, obviously this is exploitation of poor people. Obviously this is exploitation of black people, you know. And then not only is it exploiting them to work for extra hours and low wages, but there's that additional element of exploitation because when they get hurt, you deny their visas because they can't work anymore because they got hurt. And instead of giving them proper medical treatment, you send them the fuck home to die. So, I mean, I guess Canada's pretty awesome if you're a white liberal, but for people like me, I see that as a big-ass red flag because they literally killed this man, and they don't give a fuck because he was only a migrant worker, because he was only there temporarily, only there for a growing season, because he was black, because medical expenses, because it's expensive to, you know, treat someone who's in a coma, and like, fuck this guy. So this story actually kind of bothers me at a very personal level because a lot of people are saying, you know, Trump gets elected, just move to Canada. And it's like, but if this is how you treat black people in Canada, why the fuck I'm gonna move there? I might as well just stay the fuck right here, right? Like, it's kind of the same thing. You can't afford to, quote unquote, pay your way, or you can't afford to bootstrap, so then you deserve to die. I see no difference between the way this particular black man is treated and the way black people are treated in America on a regular basis. So, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Mr. Furious Piper over there, I hear you.
Yes. Yeah, Jesse Loco in there said the link is not playing audio, so I'm just putting the number in there to try to listen via the tune-in number.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, excuse me.
No.
All right. Ah, shoot, I didn't. Damn it. That's something we do, folks. That's, yeah, what? And we're not even going to tell you what the hell that is that we do. We're just going to we're going to keep doing it, and then maybe we'll explain it to you in 2020. Maybe. But that's only if in 2020, during that fucking election cycle, you don't make, if I don't see any post about I'm gonna move, then we'll do it. But one post about I'm gonna move, and fuck it, we're not telling you.
Not doing it, not telling you. Y'all don't get to know.
Yeah, excuse me.
No.
You don't get to know why we do that. Ever. Oh, man.
Hashtag inside jokes.
Yeah, that's how you make friends. I'm not going to tell you something. This is why we...
are terrible at making friends. I don't know why anybody likes us. We're horrible people. What?
Are we? Or are we just responding to what's out there?
Maybe responding to what's out there. I'll go with that. I'll take it.
Responding to what's black.
Like your face?
My goodness. Why are all these stories so goddamn serious? So you just made some post on
okay,
the Twitter.
Look.
What up?
Yes. No, I'm
yeah, no, I'm, yeah, it I'm spinning not, it around.
It is not my fault that the stories are serious. I checked headlines. This is what was trending. This is what was in headlines. I did not pick these stories. The world picked these stories.
Like, yeah, let me just hit the headlines here, because Jesus fucking Christ, right? Vehemently anti-gay pastor arrested on 70 counts of child pornography. Chicago 70. Mayor says he will, yeah, 70 counts. Chicago mayor says he will disband the much-criticized police oversight committee. New North Carolina Governor McCrory claims the political left and, they fed the emergence of transgender issues. The gasoline story that we opened with, the next one that I probably would have done next, but Jesus fucking Christ, 3-year-old in critical condition after being shot multiple times. Now this one's a little goofy, when smuggling Colorado pot, not even the sky's the limit.
Wait.
Yes.
Can we just explain the entire story about the 3-year-old, why he got shot?
Oh, yeah, just, because black women are not allowed to say no to black men. Black man hits on you, you say yes, because you should appreciate that, because he can just go get him, he can go get him a white woman and instead, so you should really be very...
Becky experience.
See, senora. And, he's talking to your nappy-headed, weave-wearing ass. You should be like, oh, thank you, Mr. Black Man. I's going to fix you up a plate because you is be a king. Yes, I know, right?
So, yeah, in case you missed the joke in there, a black man was hitting on a black woman, and she said no. So he pulled out a gun and proceeded to shoot her and shoot her son multiple times because that's how you respond to women saying no to your sexual advances.
Yeah, he just lit the car the fuck up, man. Just lit it the fuck up. And then, man charged after weapons ammo cache found in Pinelands. Weekend shooting
okay.
on... I'm just hitting
that
the headlines.
That one, though, is kind of funny. You have to put his picture, like, in a thread because he does have the Hitler mustache.
Wait, I think that... Isn't that a different story? You're not talking about the Kennedy Expressway shooting. You're talking about the weapons ammo cache found in Pinelands.
Yeah, that guy. He has a Hitler mustache, and he's a white supremacist. So, you know, I think we know what he was planning to do with the guns. Obviously not a terrorist attack, because white men cannot be terrorists for some reason.
You see, you're just jumping straight to Hitler mustache when it looks more like a Michael Jordan mustache, but it ended up looking like a Charles Chaplin.
It was a Hitler mustache with a Hitler haircut, all right?
Or is it just a business cut gone wrong?
Or it's a Hitler haircut and a Hitler mustache.
So in Lacey, New Jersey, authorities say a suspected hot supremacist who wears a... How dare they put that in there? Who wears a Hitler mustache is facing numerous charges after a large cache of weapons and ammunition was found in New Jersey woods. The Lacey police, they say officers in a multi-agency task force were in the Pinelands region Sunday afternoon looking for trespassers and criminal activity when they came across a suspicious vehicular. They soon found Bruce Post III, dressed in combat gear, and another man nearby. Post wore a short mustache centered over his top lip, just like the one associated Adolf Hitler.
These niggas will say everything but the motherfucking word terrorist.
Yeah, no, he's dressed in combat gear. That's just showing you, you know, what he looks like. He has a large cache of weapons. They're just saying what he has. Like, this is responsible journalism, lady. And then this is where it gets a little gangster. Investigators found an AK-47, 9mm handgun, 830-round magazines, 100-round drum magazine, and other ammunition that they say was hidden in the woods The items were found near the vehicular where the two men were discovered. They are black. I added that in. That was unnecessary.
They are not fucking black, yo.
They might
These
be black.
These are the niggas who get sunburned after 15 minutes at the beach. You're not fooling anyone.
They're quite black.
No.
If I was a black man, a very, very black man, Negro colored man.
Right, I would make an epic rap battle with history reference, but I know you hate them.
You just go straight to hate. I'm not a big fan.
You hate them. Because they had an epic rap battle between Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali said, I'll whoop your ass back to your Hitler mustache. But you know you're not here for that, because I've not done enough rides for you.
Okay. Jesse Loco is tuned in. See what else we have. What in the holy heck darn else we have going on here? All right, so yeah. There's that week shooting at the Kennedy Expressway, just hitting some headlines. New York Police Department used body bags to make 122 arrests in 110 days. They basically, instead of using handcuffs, they put people in body bags, live people, because, which, and you know what, these are one of those things that's like, all right, so it's like these corporations with, like, pollution and climate change, you know, or like men with rape culture. Like, they know what they're doing. They know they're traumatizing people. This is done on purpose, right? Like, I mean, it's why, like, rape culture has been a weapon of war since before was before the time of before. You know, like, that's been because they know that a psychological war, like, is what they're also fighting along with, you know, a war of weapons or fist or feet. So, so these cops know exactly what they're doing by using body bags. All right.
Yeah.
Like, if they have the kind of funding where they can just pump out money to people like the Central Park Five whenever they fark it the fuck up, then they have money to get more handcuffs and zip ties. Like, cut the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they used them. Wait, what was that? What was that number? To make 122 arrests. All right, and when Democracy Spring happened on Washington D.C., they had zip ties and handcuffs for over 400 arrests. So, New York doesn't have handcuffs and zip ties for 122? Bullshit. All right, they didn't run out. They used body bags on purpose to intentionally cause trauma, because now those people will be fucked up. And, hey, recidivism rates are profitable. All right? Where there's
and
a profit, there, whatever.
We have the highest recidivism rates in the fucking world.
Yep. So, I mean, so really, is it because recidivism makes it sound like it's, like it's the so-called criminal doing it themselves, or is it just, like, do we have the, is it more like a revolving door of oppression?
It's a revolving door of oppression, because, like, all the things that people don't consider with recidivism, it's like, so you get out, but part of your requirement is that you have to keep a job, but nobody is required, everyone is an at-work state, so nobody is required to hire you, so how do you make money when you're out, because you have to have an address, right? That was a story we talked about at one point too, right? Like the guy who was on parole and got busted because he was living at a homeless shelter because nobody would rent to him. Like,
oh yes.
What are we doing with our lives? So you have to have an address.
Yeah. Keep killing it.
Oh yeah. So they were like, you have to have an address to be out on parole. If you don't have a legitimate, like house or apartment number, you're violating your parole. But at the same time, people are allowed to not rent to you because you're a convicted felon. So this dude was staying at homeless shelters because nobody would rent to him. And then he got put back in prison for violating his parole because he didn't have a street address. But he didn't have a street address because nobody would rent to him because you're not required to rent to fucking convicted felons. So it's like, okay.
It is like okay.
Like, I mean, because it's honestly okay is the only commentary I have, because that shit is so basic. Like, you require them to have an address, but you don't require them to be accepted as renters. What did you think was going to happen? Or what did you know was going to happen and that you were preemptively banking on?
That's like I was trying to explain to Phoenix Kaleeder, like why I strongly dislike bureaucrats, because I've always taken a strong stance against bureaucrats and bureaucracy, and because like the shit is designed specifically for one to figuratively fall in the proverbial cracks, like because like you know I was getting my freedom papers, you know, ID, the birth certificate, that whole business, and it's like, and without those things, like you're basically on a quick path to homeless, especially if you have the kind of job where they take the paperwork serious. Like if you have the kind of job where they don't take the paperwork serious, and this is a good way to find out. Your ID card expires, of course you go and you renew it because we all need our adult beverages. Then don't give them a copy, and then just keep working that job without giving them a new copy while they have an expired copy of your ID on employee file. And guarantee you, like when they update files at the end of the month, or if they're really lazy and they only do it once a year, they see that it's expired, but they don't renew it. But if you have the kind of job where they do take it serious and they are like, oh, your shit's expired, and if you don't have your birth certificate and you can't get another one, then you don't get to work. And if maybe you can get a birth certificate, but you have to wait, you still can't work without an up-to-date ID card. So now you fucking can't pay your fucking bills and you get evicted. And now you're homeless. So now you don't have an address for the birth certificate to come to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, so bureaucracy is designed to make people homeless. Capitalism is designed to make people desperate. There has to be a permanent underclass. So, caused by the requirement of a permanent underclass is there will be a permanent standard of having unemployment. They require unemployment because they require that some people just above unemployment are the underpaid, which is to keep them scared of being unemployed. And then those that make a little bit more are scared of only making minimum wage. And then the petty bourgeois are scared of being the ones who are just in lower management. Yeah, it's fucking, it's a shitty system.
Can I temporarily derail for a moment? Because I didn't put this one in the show notes, but it was something that I read that stuck out of my mind that I feel is pertinent to this conversation.
Yeah.
Did you see the, an expose about Tyson? Did you see that? Like the Tyson?
They have the diapers?
Yes. So, I follow Revolution News. Y'all should follow it. Revolution News is supposed to be an article.
Is that what you're supposed to be writing for?
I am also writing a thing for them.
You're on. You already contacted them and made that happen?
Yes. I contacted them and we talked about a thing and we negotiated a piece and I'm writing it right now. Not right this second, but you know, I'm writing it right now. Thank you for that sentence to finish
it. To be secret?
Huh?
Was that supposed to be secret, or did I just blow up the spot?
No. Oh, no, not secret. Just, you know, I haven't finished it yet, and I was, I think, supposed to finish it. I said I was going to try to finish it over the weekend, but you know how my weekend went.
Okay, so and I need to give you that time. I'm not giving you enough space.
You were not the problem with this last weekend of my life. Okay, anyway. So they said the article about Tyson Chicken and how they were saying, like, the people who work in the meat processing or meat packing plants, like legitimately have to wear adult diapers because they don't give them breaks. And a bunch of people came up in the comment section like, oh, that's fucking disgusting. And that's why I'm a vegan. And it's like, you being a vegan does not help these fucking people.
Stop. Wait, and you being a vegan ain't shit, because you do realize that exploited people who probably also have to wear diapers and don't wash their hands are also working with the vegetables, too. Like
working
you,
with
like
the vegetables?
You,
the
yeah,
fucking,
like, you do realize that.
That's fucking child slave laborers who mine cocoa and whatever the fuck it is that goes in your phone, lithium that goes in your phone battery, like, shit.
That you use to type up that bullshit comment. Like, I mean, fucking, I don't know if the documentaries is still up on PBS, but like, yeah, like those slaves on those fucking farms, like that shit is all fucked up there. So like all that, that's why I'm a vegan. Nigga, you just chose a different slave to make your product, nigga. So
right.
How about,
like, check
why,
your
I'ma
fucking
go
self.
Fuck yourself. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, check your fucking self, right? So
yeah.
That, and then a bunch of people were like, that's so degrading. I would never degrade myself as to wear a diaper and have to shit in my pants to keep a job. And I'm like, nigga, who the fuck is you that you don't have to worry about that shit? I'm like, you don't think they intentionally seek out, like, people that don't have papers and can't get jobs? You don't think they fucking seek out, like, convicted felons who can't get hired anywhere else? Nobody wants to fucking work in a job where they have to wear a diaper and shit their pants. But all these people came in shaming the workers. And I was like, why are you not shaming the CEOs and the CFOs and whoever the fuck runs this company? And
man, that's
because
these
not...
punk-ass vegans, because these niggas are not actually against systems of oppression. Like, they're just against seeing bunny rabbits hurt. You know, like, that's it.
Snaps
like,
all around.
Yeah, like, they don't actually really care about larger systems. And if they did, they'd be too scared to take them on. So that's why they fucking talk tough. And, you know, and, like, in vegan propaganda, they always love to, like, fucking get a picture of, like, a buff black dude and be like, look, this guy's a vegan, you know. But it's like, on average, you vegans are fucking little scrawny-ass, little weak-ass white boys in the city with your little punk-ass fucking salad smoothie. And so, like, forget about the ownership class, because the ownership class can do to you what they want. If they want you wearing a diaper, you'll wear a diaper. You're really not that motherfucking free. But then forget the ownership class, okay, little skinny boy? Like, I'll slap your salad out of your hand and I'll put you in a diaper if I fucking feel like it. Like, like, you're talking real tough and you're real not.
Like, who the fuck was that dude that used to be on my friend list and he got mad because you had called him out, like, Hugo somebody, right? Hugo Dominguez?
Oh, yeah.
Or some motherfucker. Right. And he was like, we are here for liberation of animals, and we going to protest the Whole Foods. I'm like, nigga, who the fuck shot the Whole Foods? Who? How? Sway? What are you doing with your wife? Nobody shot the Whole Foods. They were like, we going to do some real change and cause a riot at Whole Foods. And I think, I don't shop at Whole Foods. I can't afford
and
that
cause
shit.
And cause a riot at Whole Foods.
Right? I'm going to fucking get the entire fuck out of my face. But no, like, that's an issue. And so many people were in the conversation like, oh, man, these fucking workers degrading themselves like that. And I'm like, you clearly have never been in a position where it's like, wear the diaper for 12 hours and do your shift or go the fuck back to prison. Or get fucking deported. Or be homeless, or not have enough money to feed your fucking kids. Like, fuck y'all niggas for shaming these workers for putting up with this bullshit and having to wear diapers. Like, be mad at the corporation. Fucking take your anger out on the corporation and take it out on the people who run the corporation. Don't fucking take it out on the workers. They didn't ask for that shit. Like, how empowered is somebody, you know, you want to be like, well, they're choosing that, but how empowered can they be to make a choice when they literally have to shit their pants to finish off their shift? That is not an empowered person, and fuck you for talking shit about them.
As a matter of fact, that was a story that we hit up last week. I mean, I'm sure a lot of Marxist, socialist leaning podcasts, and the leaning, not everybody is, like, practicing, but a lot of them leaning that way covered that story. Remember the one where the Wendy's employee, I think they were working drive through, and but they didn't have a diaper. They just soiled their clothes because they weren't allowed to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And then it was
that
story of the woman that I think she was a Hispanic woman working three jobs, and she died in her truck from exhaustion.
There was that woman. Yes, there was that woman.
Oh, wait, was it? She had gas cans because she just had to, like, she didn't need, like, because between the three jobs, like, she didn't even have time to stop at gas stations regularly. I think it was gas. I think she had, think she was breathing the fumes.
And then there was, like, a Latino man who ended up killing himself because his kids got, his kids died because they couldn't afford, like, the regular heat, so they put in space heaters, but they started leaking carbon monoxide and killed his fucking kids. Right? And, like, you know, I told you, fucking winter is real as fucking Chicago. Literally every winter I know people are going to die because they can't afford heat. You know, they can't fucking afford shit, and people will die. And, like, that's capitalism. But instead of being like, why the fuck is it we have a country that has the most wealth in the entire fucking world, and people starve to death, people die because of lack of medical care, people fucking freeze to death in the winter, people die of heat exhaustion and heat stroke in the summer, but you're like, oh, these fucking workers degrading themselves. Yeah, fuck you.
And then guess what my fiance does? Those winters where folks are guaranteed to dizzy, she knits fucking hats and shit for homeless folks out there. You know, like, and I don't say that to say, like, yeah, and I don't say that to say, like, she's the ultimate savior, but at the same time, like what some, like, Hotep niggas and whatnot, and like Democrats, I mean, like self-proclaimed Democrats, like, they'll come to folks like us in the social networks and be like, so what are you actually doing? It's like, well, she's actually doing that. She also volunteers and donates money to a sex workers outreach project. And then where I work, whenever like young black women get hired in, I put them to the front of the line to get promoted and transferred to an area that's predominantly run by black women with the company.
Yes.
And then, like, my place is a safe space, like, for young black girls, like, you know, like, fucking, you know, do your homework, watch your programs, fucking just eat the shit out of my food, fucking go for it, just niggas fucking, little niggas fucking my granola bars up. So, God damn, I haven't had a Fiber One bar in, like, fucking 6 months, huh?
We can eat some Raisin Bran, granddad, God damn. No, can I actually, like, legit mention something, though, about, like, SWAP, which is sex work outreach program, and different sex work organizations? It's like, they do some legit-ass shit, and something that we do is we set up tables, particularly in the winter, to give out condoms and personal toiletries and shit like that, so that sex workers can access that. Because remember, what happens when you're having multiple clients a day and you don't have condoms? That's how STDs happen. Okay? So we want to be able to prevent that. That is a harm reduction technique or strategy. And it's the same thing with passing out personal toiletries. And we pass out fucking food. And, you know, I hand out blankets and I hand out socks and I hand out hats and I buy, you know, fucking gloves at the dollar store. It's like, that kind of shit is so important, because even though it's, like, really minor on the larger scale of life, it is enough to get a person through a winter without dying. And that means a lot, you know, and people won't appreciate that. So it's, like, legit, if you can donate time or resources or money to a local grassroots sort of operation, please do so, because people are literally dying for this shit. Mhm.
All right, and then
Yeah.
And then Jesse Loco's out there and said talking about the vegans said because the animals are cute and people are fucking complicated and no one wants to imagine people's complexity in terms of human beings being capable of horrific things. They would rather think in terms of absolutes, and in their minds, animals are absolutely innocent, which is fucked up.
So I don't even remember that dude that I shared tweets from or shared screen caps from. Do you remember that fucking thread I had on the Phoenix Collide account? Well, it was some fucking vegan who was like, I don't know why people are mad that Serena Williams got compared to a monkey. Monkeys are better than humans. We should all be flattered to be compared to a monkey. Remember that fucking bullshit?
Yeah.
Fucking vegans. This is why nobody likes vegans. Honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's just collectively. And again, I got to go back to that phrase I dislike. A hit dog hollers. If it's not you, like, telling you, if you speak up, I'm clowning. And keep in mind, like, I haven't just said this. I've done this. Like, I will do a hilarious battle rap against you, even if you don't rap, and just clown the shit out of you. Like, and I'm funny, and people click my shit. Like, don't do it.
But the Olive Girl said she was finna battle rap, though.
Yeah. And then I don't really have much to say about this one. The actor Wendell Pierce arrested after alleged fight with a Bernie Sanders supporter in Atlanta. Other than just to point back to, I see a whole bunch of niggas in the black podcasting sphere that don't think for themselves on some shit. And like, particularly in this Democratic primary season, they're not thinking for themselves because there's gatekeeping going on where niggas is basically afraid that they won't get a chance to maybe get a job in the future or a featured slot on TWIB Nation with Elon James White and Imani Gandhi. Now, Elon James White last year, and you can follow the timeline on this, right? Like they were at Netroots Nation, where frankly, I think Elon is too much of a corporatist, capitalist type of cat to be there. Like, he really doesn't fit there. Like, Netroots Nation really is for, like, the socialist, Marxist, anarchist types, and he's never going to be any of those things. Like, he's full-on sellout. And so he's there, and he's involved with it. And he didn't like that, you know, the 74-year-old who lived in Brooklyn before gentrification and before Elon's mother even lived there, right? Okay, so, like, way more Brooklyn than you, Elon, is Bernie Sanders, and was an activist while you were just a worker and spent the majority of his young life in activism and then went straight into politics and even did more for black politics than you did, working with Jesse Jackson and whatnot, just saying things that are true. Whoopsie doodle. But you got mad that he said all lives matter, huh?
I'm not gonna lie. All I have in my head is that moment where it's like Bernie Sanders at the Martin Luther King, and they're like, "I didn't see him. Was he there?" Like 5 steps behind. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And you get mad that, because you're going down the timeline here, because I've been following this shit, and then I stopped following them because I listen to a lot of podcasts a day, and you have no choice but to cut out the bullshit so you can get all the best ones in. So I cut out TWIB Nation recently because it's just, I'm tired of hearing them cry about Twitter. But so he gets mad because I think, Martin O'Malley, said all lives matter. And it's like, excuse them for not following your fucking hashtags. Like, they're busy doing way bigger shit than you ever will. And then he doesn't like, because Sanders doesn't pivot. Because Sanders is focused on a much larger problem than you'll ever focus on. Elon likes to pretend that racism will end. All right? Because he fucking knows better, but he's also an emotional manipulator, and he monetizes faux outrage. Elon James White does, and then he had a beef with that, and then he had a little beef, and he went, you know, in full fucking just privileged tears with Elon James White, that Bernie, the senator running for president, didn't have time to stop and talk to him on his podcast. Oh, excuse the senator running for president for being a little busy for your podcast. Oops. And so from there, Elon has just been salty as fuck and decided to be a de facto Hillary surrogate by saying, I'm not going to endorse anyone, but then actively only critique Sanders, and a lot of the exact same critiques I brought to Sanders, but at the end of the day, like, Sanders fucking shits on Clinton. Like, he's just way the fuck better. And I actually had more in-depth critiques on Sanders than Elon did, because I actually research and shit. And I've also been following Sanders for years. Like, Elon, like a lot of Obamacrats and Clintoncrats, they just now found out that Sanders even existed, while folks like us, you know, I've been following Sanders for the past 5 years. Other folks have been following for a decade. And then there's other folks that have been following Sanders, you know, since the fucking 80s. Like, he's been around. Like, you just found out, nigga. You know? And so, like, because Elon James White is a gatekeeper, like, a lot of other black podcasters are just falling in line, and they're just like, yo, fuck Sanders, it's all Hillary. And they pretend that Bernie Bros exist. Bernie Bros don't exist, that's fake. And it's not because I'm just saying that's fake, but an actual investigative journalist actually investigated it. Bernie Bros don't exist. Those trolls that you think are Bernie Bros, they're fake. And the investigative journalist did what a lot of you actually could have did if you actually cared, which is click on their timelines and scroll. Once you get past their fake Bernie troll posts, these are Trump supporters. These are a lot of them are very right-wing libertarians. They're like Alex Jones types. Like, they're fucking trolls. So there's actually no such thing as a Bernie bro, huh?
Can I just point out one thing, though? A lot of people who accept the notion that Gamergate and, like, hashtag Operation Lollipop came in to infiltrate social justice and feminist spaces somehow find it incredulous to be the idea that right-wingers are posing at Bernie Bros. That has not escaped my attention.
No, because the gatekeeper said so. Because niggas is scared that they might not get a chance to share a microphone with Elon, because that's good exposure, and that's because Elon's a sellout, because Elon will never critique corporatism or imperialism, because that gave him a chance to be on Melissa Harris Perry's show when she was on MSNBC, which she's a sellout too. Like, stop bullshitting yourself. Like, anybody who stayed on MSNBC is a fucking sellout. Like, there's a reason why Dylan Radigan got fired, and I think I actually I have that audio saved in our notes. I might play that. But the thing is, that audio is so old, it's not news, and this is a news and comment program, so we typically don't play old shit. But, like the clip where Dylan Radigan got fired for, fire, shit that Melissa Harris Perry will never say in underground media, you know, like independent media or mainstream media, you know, and shit that Elon will never say. You know, Cenk Uygur got fired for some, you know, like for shit that Elon will never fucking talk about. Like when somebody who wrote for Salon.com talked about Obama and drones, fucking Elon is like, yo, stop talking about drones. Obama's the black president. You're just racist for talking about him. It's just like, okay, but what about the fucking the people that got bombed at the wedding, though? Like, what the fuck, yo? And so he's just fucking hurt, and I see a bunch of niggas in black podcasting just following along with that, cause they're fans of King Elon, and that's pretty weak. That's pretty weak, you know. At the wine cellar, We're not about that shit. Like, we're not about gatekeeping, and we're not about chasing the approval of little mark-ass, buster-ass gatekeepers who will never care about classism. Because the thing is, when your big problem in life is what brunch to take your hoverboard to, it's pretty obvious that you're not going to care about classism, and that's on Elon. And then, like, I'm Ani Gandhi. Yeah, sure, there's misogynoir, right? Because she's a black woman. But she was adopted by very upper-middle-class folks, a black and Jewish person, and they actually just straight paid for her college. So Ani Gandhi doesn't give a fuck about student loan debt, because that's not something that happened to her. So when she sees Bernie Sanders talking about student loan debt, she's like, that doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to her. Like Twib Nation is privileged ass niggas that don't give a fuck about you, All right? They're fucking Obamacrats. They are Democrats. They're Democrats. They're Democrats. All right? They're not progressive. They're not Marxist. They're not anarchist. They're not socialist. And really, they can't even define socialist. Right? Like, and that's another thing is their show descended into niggas that live on Twitter and whine about it. Like, that's all it is. And they like to pretend that they're not public figures. You're a public figure. People are going to get at you. Get the fuck over it. Grow the fuck up. Imani, you're in your fucking 40s. Think you want to grow up? Elon, what are you, 37, 38 this year? Grow the fuck up, nigga. You're a public figure. People are going to get at you. Quit fucking crying. You some crying ass niggas. And so that's what the fuck they do there. All right, I think I had a little bit more riff on the whiny ass Twib Nation niggas. No, I think that's about it. So that's all I have to say about the Wendell Pierce story, because I really don't care that Wendell Pierce got into a fight. Like, that's his BIS-ness. I don't give a shit. Like, make a good movie, nigga. I don't care about your speeches.
Right.
All right. And I think that's your wine cellar.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
All right. So have a good one.
Mm-hmm.